You're listening to the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast, where we talk about hunting, politics, sports, and everything in between. Now, here's your host, Steve West.
Everybody, welcome to this special podcast. We're here in the Steve's Outdoor Adventure studio booth. I'm here with Travis Price, and this week we have a special guest, Brent Sargent. He's the general manager for Marathon Seat Covers, one of our longtime partners and sponsors. He's going to be on the show here shortly, and we're going to have him call in. We got a great giveaway. We're going to announce how to win some Marathon Seat Covers, and we're going to tell you exactly how right here and then while we're doing a live social media broadcast of that segment of the show. It's not something we've ever tried before, so everybody hold a little patience with us. Yeah, but in the end, we're going to give away like a very expensive set of Marathon Seat Covers to somebody to put in their truck or SUV. It's going to be pretty cool.
Cool.
But before we have Brent on, I kind of wanted to take a minute. You know, you and I have been going different directions. Like, you're in Alaska, and then I was in Alaska, and you're back here holding down the fort, and I'm over there. You know, I'm here holding down the fort when you're there, and then I went on the road to Wyoming and Utah. And yeah, I mean, having good times and whatnot. But, you know, I kind of want to, you know, recap the season so far. I mean, we still have a little ways to go. You've still got a deer hunt. I've still got a little trip to North Carolina coming up. You know, hopefully I get a little Duke basketball in. You know, I'm looking forward to that trip to North Carolina. You know, go Devils. But, you know, let's talk about, you know, kind of where we've been this year, kind of just a brief, you know, 30,000 foot overview, because a little later in the podcast, we're going to talk about Travis's first grizzly bear hunt.
Right? Yes, it was awesome. Can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah. You know, so Travis goes to Alaska, gets a badass grizzly bear, beautiful tokalak color. And I mean, it was over the top. And looking at the footage, the guys busted their ass to film it. You busted your ass to, you know, to get it killed, you know. Then I went up and went on that
caribou.
Oh man, my feet still hurt, you know? Yep. I've decided I'm going to start hunting with people my own age. Of course, I'll probably shoot forked horns then, but you know, whatever.
And you might've got a good one.
I might've got a good one. Yeah. That was a pretty special caribou. But you know, talk to me, you know, I mean, you're more in touch with the clients these days than I am, because I'm going with that. I've got the ammo company and that, you know, we got rifle packages going out and I'm on the road, and I was on the road for an extended period of time as a lot of clients are coming back. You know, what are you seeing right now for, you know, I guess like feedback from the clients? So how's the season going?
Yeah, the season's going very well so far. We're like right in the middle of everyone in our office doing hunt reviews. So when clients get back from their hunts, we always want all the feedback from the hunt, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. But for the most part, everybody's had a really good time so far coming back from their hunts. And like right now, the Wyoming antelope and deer hunters are back. Got lots of photos. They really enjoyed their hunts. Obviously the Colorado first season just ended for elk, did very well there. And then going back further, like you said, the Alaska hunters had a good season. So all in all, it's been a very good season so far, even during a drought year. So I'm pretty happy so far. And I think it's just going to continue to get better and better.
You know, other than, you know, and I guess it's important for us to talk about things like this because, you know, potential clients are watching. You know, we fire our best shot, right? I mean, we're working with trusted partners, people that we know. You know, we tried to expand with one of our partners into a ranch in Utah, pitched a monster goose egg down there, working with our clients to be really fair about, hey, come on back next year. Let's hunt a different place with you. You know, it was worth a try because that, you know, that ranch is in a great location. I don't know why we pitched a goose egg there and why the hunting was so bad this year. Maybe it had something to do with the drought.
Yep.
But you know, we're going to figure that out. That was totally unexpected. But for the most part, I felt like the season was really going well. Like all of our caribou hunters in Alaska killed caribou. Yep. And I think all of our bear hunters got grizzlies.
Yep. To my knowledge, they did.
Yeah. I mean, so everybody has done well. I had one stone sheep hunter that didn't get a sheep, but he had a big ram in his crosshairs and the trigger was broke on the gun. I mean, I feel horrible for him. I talked to him on the phone. I literally could feel his pain through the phone. 27 days. It was a 14-day hunt. The outfitter continued to extend him at no cost, like extend. When someone pays, you know, $50,000-$60,000 for a hunting trip, the outfitters want them to be successful. They went, you know, full meal deal all the way. It just wasn't meant to be. And I feel horrible for him about that. But I mean, you look at all the other hunters who have been, for the most part, very successful.
And I agree. And keep in mind, you know, everyone's aware that it is, you know, free range fair chase hunting, and we're not going to have every single client kill the animal of lifetime every single hunt. It's just not realistic. But in general, the vast majority of our clients have a really great time and are successful in their hunts. And this year is no different than every other year.
Well, I think it's important for people to also realize, let's say you pay $5,000-$10,000 for a hunting trip. You're not buying that animal. This is, unless you're going in a high fence, you're not buying an animal. You're buying a hunting adventure, an experience, mm-hmm. an opportunity to hunt with a professional guide that's going to give you the best chance for your success. You're going to buy, you know, maybe it's on private lands, maybe it's in a backcountry area, but you've improved your odds dramatically because, you know, like unguided public land hunters have, you know, say 2 or 3% success rate in archery and like 8 to 10% at most on public lands for rifle hunters. Whereas our clients consistently run 90% or better year after year on like elk and mule deer and antelope. And we're well over 95% in Alaska and British Columbia and, you mm-hmm. know, the Yukon and Northwest Territories and places like that. Yep. So,
and we had some hunters get into Canada this year, which was with the new,
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. How's COVID? Like, what's the feedback from the guys on, you know, traveling to Canada, the COVID restrictions?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think initially there was some apprehension about, you know, the paperwork, using ArriveCan app to make sure everything's downloaded. You have all your ducks in a row with your vaccine card and your, you know, negative COVID test within 72 hours of arrival, all those things. But once, you know, everything's kind of set and I've helped a lot of clients get across the border so far this year. And for the most part, you know, 99% of those trips have gone really smoothly. So,
well, I think part of that is, I think we've been telling people, hey, don't expect things to go perfectly. Take a sense of humor, be flexible. Don't have a flight 45 minutes after you arrive, you know, give yourself a few hours to clear customs or when you're coming back, get to the Edmonton airport, you know, like that morning to get your testing done at the COVID center. So you have lots of time to receive that negative test so that you can check in for your flight later that day and get flown home on schedule to go with an understanding that we have to be flexible. This is a new situation. It's a fluid situation and
it could change at any time.
But no issues otherwise.
No issues otherwise. Everybody's got in that we're planning to go and we're prepared, which is the big thing. And to top that, he killed some really nice moose. So,
oh man,
yeah, that in Western BC is going well. So,
yeah, well, and also Newfoundland. Sound like some of the Newfoundland guys had a pretty good time.
Yep, so. They did.
Excellent. Well, I'll tell you what, I know that Brent is eager to get on the call. So, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick commercial break. This segment of the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast is sponsored by Digital Law Marketing. For all your legal needs, there's Digital Law Marketing, and we'll be right back.
This segment of the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast is sponsored by Bergara Rifles, where the people truly make the difference.
All right. You know, so we're behind the scenes here at the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast. We're in the studio and on the phone, we have Brent Sargent, the general manager of Marathon Seat Covers, a longtime partner in the outdoor industry and sponsor of the Steve's Outdoor Adventures television series. And this segment of our podcast is being streamed live on the Marathon Seat Covers Instagram and Facebook pages. Any of you out there that are watching, thank you for joining us. We're glad to have you. And I'm about to tell you all how you can win a free set of Marathon Seat Covers. Just stay tuned for that. I've got the rules right here on the sheet, and we're going to announce it here in just a minute. But in the meantime, once again, Brent, how are you doing, man? How's everything in Montana?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And as you said, longtime partner of Marathon Seat Covers. We've known each other since 2002 and just a great ambassador for our product and really puts our seat covers to the test every time he gets out in the field. So thanks again for having me, Steve.
You bet, man. You bet. As a matter of fact, I was looking. Do you remember my 2005 Ford F-250 that we did the second set on after like a decade?
And, I do.
I just looked in that truck earlier today. I went to go like pick it up. I'm having like a bit of a project done on it at our local Ford dealership. And I was looking in there. And I was thinking the seat covers were pulled up and the seats still look brand new underneath. So thanks to you guys. I literally have a 2005 where the outside looks like somebody ran over it with a steamroller and the inside looks like I could put it in a brand new truck. So much thanks there.
I appreciate you saying that. That's exactly what we try to do here. And again, you put it through the test. And just to say to the live audience out there and anyone who's listening that the seat covers do what we say they're going to do, and they do protect the interior vehicle. They're waterproof. They're very durable, and they can handle anything you put them through. And that's the key, is trying to protect your investment along with making them look good as well. So that's great that they're doing that. And for a 2005 vehicle, that's pretty impressive.
Without a doubt, you know, and you know, for anybody out there that's watching or doesn't know, Marathon Seat Covers is based in Bozeman, Montana. These are American made products. You know, we all talk about these, you know, shipments that are coming in, right? Like I own an ammo company and I'm waiting for like components to get in, some of them from overseas, gunpowder, primers, you know, there's all sorts of stuff that's jammed up at ports. It's like, you know how you get around things jammed up at ports? You buy them in the US. Buy products that are already inside the damn ports, and and you support American jobs. You know, you support the American economy, and really, you know, I've always valued that as probably, you know, as big of a factor in why we work with Marathon Seat Covers as the people and, you know, our relationships with you, Brent, and the rest of the folks there in the building, and the, of course, the superior product. And, you know, like I said, I really want our viewers to know that Marathon Seat Covers is, you know, red, white, and blue, man. They fly the flag. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking.
All the way through, Steve. I appreciate you saying that. And we've always worked hard to try to maintain that. As everyone probably knows, it's difficult to try to do something like that and buy all of our materials domestically. But we really feel strongly about that. We really feel strongly about making a fully American-made product, trying to source all of our products and all the materials that go into our product through all American distributors. And it's something, you know, we feel is very important. And we support the American worker and have along the way. And we really try to develop those relationships and keep them going throughout the years. And it's been very successful. And we feel it's a very important part of this whole project as well.
From Tom Burnett all the way to Covercraft. I mean,
yes, sir.
It's maintained, you know. So, Travis, what were you saying?
I was just going to say, you know, I don't have a set of Marathon seat covers, and I wish I did, because I'm sitting here thinking as you're talking about your company and our great partnership, and, you know, I'm thinking about my vehicle sitting in the parking lot as we do this podcast, and my dog spends a lot of time in my vehicle, and I'm just dreading that I have to go in this weekend and clean that sucker and all the hair and mud from duck hunting, and like, it's a disaster. My wife won't even get in my vehicle right now, but I was just thinking, all I need to do is pick up the phone and give you a call Brent, so that I can fix that scenario. So you'll be hearing from me shortly.
Yeah. It's, I mean,
Travis, we'd love to set you up. And, you know, you mentioned one of the main things that kind of, goes along with our product. I mean, due to the durability and the waterproofing of the material, cleaning up from dog mess, hunting mess, just the regular mess of every day, you can spill anything you want all over these. You can get it with a screwdriver in your pocket. You're not punching through, you know, 1,000 denier Cordura material. And it just does everything that kind of keeps the worry away. I mean, it's that's one of the keys to our product. It makes it where you don't really have to think about it. Get in with soaking wet waders. You can, you know, throw bloody whatever all over the seats, and it's not going to be a problem. I mean, that's the key. And you know, you mentioned something else. Maybe it helps you know, have our significant others in our vehicle a little bit more, maybe. Yeah, maybe exactly. That's a good thing. Maybe it's not, but you know, it could help on that thing. As well.
keep my truck, you know? So, I mean, let me ask this. So what's new at Marathon Seat Covers? What do we have to look forward to here? Is there anything changing, or are you guys just, you know, nose to the grindstone, status quo, just trying to crush out all these orders that have been coming in?
Well, I will say this, that is definitely part of the mojo that's been going on this year. Since we took a little break due to things of May of last year, we've been very busy. Time frames have increased. We do have some, you know, supply chain issues domestically that we're dealing with just due to what's going on. So it is nose to the grindstone, trying to take the time frames down, get them reasonable. But I think everyone understands what's going on. But beyond that, there are new things that are happening at Marathon. We're always looking at new and innovative ways to cater to the customer and make sure we're taking care of our people. So on that front, I would say one thing would be we're definitely always looking into the newest, most up-to-date patterns that are available, both camouflage and other solid colors that are, you know, conducive to today's, you know, customer and consumer. So that's something where we're always looking at the new patterns. There's several new, both Mossy Oak and Realtree patterns that are available out there. We do some of the Cryptek patterns as well. They're very appealing. So we're looking always to get the newest versions of what is out there and available. And that's something we'll always continue to do. As well as that, we're also looking into getting some new product lines. And one that I think would be very appealing to not only you guys, but also the crowd and whoever's listening out there would be Marathon Seat Covers is looking to try to break into the side-by-side and UTV market, which we think there's a lot of potential there. Yeah. Our product is conducive for that. I mean, being that it can handle the outdoors and the rigors of all of the outdoor activities that go along with the side-by-sides these days, we're really looking to try to get a good pattern base going on for side-by-sides moving forward. And I think a very exciting venture for us when we do get a chance to get into that. So,
man, I can hardly wait for that. All right. Well, all right, look, we've talked about Marathon Seat Covers, and we're going to talk about the giveaway in a minute. But you and I have something that's pretty strongly in common. And
here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. We're 5-1 right now. We got a cornerback with 7 picks, and everybody can kiss my ass. The Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl.
Let's just say if it wasn't for a push-off against the Bucks, we would be undefeated right now. Let's just be honest about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Push off in game one of the season. Cowboys would be undefeated right now going into the bye week. So, let's just be honest. Come on.
Yep. No, so, without a doubt.
I'm maybe not as close to the Dallas Cowboys. I watch, you know, football and follow it. But what's different this year? It seems like Dak's more in the zone, more comfortable, performing better. You know, are they just what's going on?
Loaded. Like he's like an M16 with a 30 round mag right now. He's literally got like that many rounds in the gun going into a game. You got like 3, actually, when Gallup gets back, 4 high quality wide receivers. You've got 2 kick ass running backs. You've got your full offensive line back. You've got 2 functional tight ends that can catch, block, and run.
And is everybody healthy
at the moment?
Yeah.
You know,
currently Dak's still a little bit of calf, but we're not too worried about it. And I agree with you wholeheartedly on the offensive side of the ball. We really have a loaded team and just layers of guys, Cedric Wilson. I mean, you know, the guy Noah, they're just loaded from top to bottom offensively. But I think the real catalyst this year, and everyone knows, they couldn't stop anything last year. The defense and the addition of Dan Quinn as the defensive coordinator has really made the difference in the Dallas Cowboys this year. They can hang in games. You know, again, you mentioned Diggs, amazing cornerbacks. The defense has been really solid. And on top of that, we haven't had our best defensive player for most of the season in DeMarcus Lawrence.
D-Law been when on he the comes, sidelines.
When you get him back, really be looking good. Randy Gregory's been just abusing quarterbacks and laying on guys. It's really been exciting to see the defense come together, which really, you know, got to make us a contender this year. If everyone can stay healthy, we're looking really strong.
Oh, with that Micah Parsons. When Micah Parsons is in there with D-Law and Gregory, we're going to be putting some quarterbacks in ICU. Given right there. I'm calling it 14-3 going into the playoffs. Number one seed in the NFL, winning it all.
Now let me just say, when this all started, Steve and I were talking before the season started, and he was talking about a record that was, you know, he was saying like 13-4, 14. You were talking something pretty lofty, Steve. And I, you know, not knowing how the defense was going to come together, I wasn't as optimistic as you were. And now that we have gotten into the season and seeing what we have together, I'm going to have to say your predictions are holding up pretty well. And I like where we stand in comparison to where you were thinking we were going to be. So I love it.
I'm a realist, but I'm also an all in. I bleed blue and silver. You know, I'm a Cowboys fan all the way. And sometimes you just got to walk up, throw your junk on the table and say, we're going to win it all this year.
Yeah. And hope that you're right.
Yeah. And just say, here it is. Yeah. It's time. This is our year and our time, you know? So
it's been a long time. We haven't been in the playoffs very much. I'd love for us to get in there and show what we can do and throw our weight around a little bit. And what better team to go in with than the team we have this year?
Without a doubt, without a doubt. All right, so here's the deal. We now have this set of seat covers that we're going to give away to somebody that's lucky out there tonight. And, you know, one of the things, like I was saying earlier, this is our first time doing like a live social media event mixed with the podcast. I'm not certain how all the audio is playing out. If anybody out there in social media land is not able to hear everything that Brent is saying, you can watch the podcast in its entirety on the platform. But also what I'm going to do is we're going to snip out this segment of the podcast and we're going to upload it tomorrow to the Marathon Seat Covers pages, because I want everybody to be able to see this, and it's going to give everybody a chance to win these seat covers. Yeah. So we're going to be giving away a free set of Marathon Seat Covers, and to be entered to win, you need to comment below on this video, whether it's Instagram or Facebook, just make a comment, but tag a friend who would enjoy a set of Marathon Seat Covers for their truck or SUV. Every entry will be placed in the drawing, and a winner is going to be announced on Monday afternoon. So you got all weekend to watch this video Monday morning. Make your comment, tag a friend, and get entered to win, because someone is going to win. And all you have to do is, once again, make a comment on this video and tag a friend, and you might be that lucky winner who gets a set of Marathon Seat Covers. So, Brent, I really appreciate you coming on the show with us today. You know, I promised you we'd keep it brief, because I know you're still at the office busting your butt here late on a Friday night, just like you are week after week. But thanks again for joining us on the show. And when the Cowboys go to the Super Bowl, we'll have a Super Bowl party. So we'll have a virtual one or something, and we'll party and celebrate our boys going to the bowl.
Yep.
So
I'll stand right next to you anytime on that celebration, Steve. I appreciate you and, all you do for Marathon Seat Covers and all you do for all the people out there, it really means a lot to your support. And, you know, we really appreciate it. And I'm happy to be on and share this moment with you. So I do look forward to hear from Travis in the future. Exactly. Happy to take care of you, my man.
Yep, that's what I was going to say.
We'll get you going. Just let me know.
Shortly.
Yeah, that's a given. He's over there drooling on the table, though. Hey, we'll talk to you again soon, Brent. Have a great night and have a tremendous weekend.
Go Thank boys. You, Steve and Travis. You guys do the same. Appreciate everything. Thanks, Take care. Brent.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, it's time for us to go to a commercial break. This segment of the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast has been sponsored by Bergara Rifles, where the people truly do make a difference, just like at Marathon Seat Covers.
This segment of the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast is sponsored by Burris Optics. Find what matters.
All right, we're back here in the studio, the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast set. It's just me and my buddy Travis Price here from Steve's Outdoor Adventures. And, you know, it was a wonderful chat we had with Brent Sargent.
Yeah, man. It was.
I mean, like, in all seriousness, everybody, Marathon Seat Covers has been a tremendous partner of mine for almost 20 years now. Brent's a great guy. The entire staff there at Marathon Seat Covers is absolutely awesome, and their product is second to none. So, we recommend them to everybody. So, but now it's time to talk about that grizzly bear hunt. We teased it a little bit earlier. Yeah, we talked about it. You
got
know.
Me excited. Then I got a chill for
yeah. Me. I mean, like it's now time to like take it to the next level. Just you and me, you know, I've done a lot of grizzly bear hunting over the years. And, you know, when I came to you and said, you know, in August, like the first August, I was like, yo, like 28 days from now, can you be in Alaska and do a grizzly bear hunt?
I remember that day.
Yeah. And you like, piddled yourself. I mean, I thought I was going to have to spank the puppy with a newspaper for peeing in the house. I mean, you were pretty excited. I mean,
I was excited.
It was your first grizzly bear hunt. And, you know, talk to me about that experience. I mean, what was your, I mean,
well, my first, when you 28 days ago and you said, hey, what are you doing? You know, this week you want to go to Alaska and go on a grizzly bear hunt. My first initial reaction was excitement to just go back to Alaska. I mean, it's such a special place, as you know, obviously, and we've talked about it. We've even talked about it on this podcast before. But what I really didn't understand or know at the time is how special grizzly bear hunting is within going to Alaska. Because the only other hunt I'd done was obviously a caribou hunt that we've talked about on the show as well. So, and coming back, I am like bone hooked on grizzly or brown bear hunting. It like gets in your blood like elk hunting during the rut does, or, you know, for some people it's mule deer, but that was kind of one of my biggest takeaways, you know, of going up there and going through that experience is, you know, putting a stalk on a grizzly bear is much different and much more exciting, in my opinion, for me, than say stalking, you know, some of the other big game out there. So that was a big learning experience and takeaway from going to Alaska for me.
Outstanding. Yeah. That, you know, this was kind of the first big trip for the two young camera operators that were, you know, grooming and bringing in under the house. We had, you know, Jack was there and Wesley was there. I mean, it looked like there was a lot of energy in reviewing the footage. There was a lot of energy, a lot of creativity. A lot of
continuity. And when, you know, I made a post on social media when I returned from the hunt, and the first, when I got back, other than what I just mentioned, it's like I arrived with three other coworkers when I first got there. You know, the two cameramen that I worked with, very talented, and kind of the first time I'd worked with them together. And then just meeting the guide Cade, getting flown in, you know, with our partner and Jeremy. And, you know, when I left, you know, the post, I said, you know, we got there as coworkers, we left as brothers. And it just gave me the chills to say that, because that's literally how it felt. It was like such a great connection. Yeah. And it makes not only the hunting so much more enjoyable for not only me, but all of us, but to be together and create, you know, television through becoming brothers like that, it just flowed so nice and so smooth. And it was just one of the most favorite or memorable hunts that I've ever been on through Steve's Outdoor Adventures or in my life in general.
Wow, that's cool. Yep. Yeah. I think the end product, I think the episode that comes out of it, with some more hard work in the studio and in the editing suites, I think the end product's gonna be very strong. You know, like I said, there was a lot of effort put into it, and that shows in the end. You know, at some point in time, you know, that's what it boils down to, is who's getting creative, who's going the extra mile, who's getting up an hour before daylight to get their shit together, so to speak.
Yep.
Get that camera running.
Putting in the extra creativity.
Yeah.
Go the extra mile physically.
Get in the mud. Yeah. Yep. I mean, fly the drone, get out there in the rain a little bit when you don't want to, and work hard. And it looks like all of that happened on that trip.
It did.
So I really feel like that's an episode that's going to really set off. So I decided to schedule that one for the first show.
Nice. Lead off with
first quarter 2022. You got, batter up.
Yep.
Like, don't mess it up.
Yep. I really agree. I mean, being there with Jack, Wesley and Cade, and it just, not only from a hunter standpoint, but for working with SOA, was an outstanding trip.
That's awesome. Awesome. You know, we had you hunt with a 300 PRC.
You did.
Yeah. I mean, it looked to me like the round did the job. I mean,
it definitely did.
A lot of people don't understand, with a 300 PRC, you're getting like a 300 wind mag with a mule kick to it.
Yep.
Now, I'm not talking about a kick here. I'm talking about a kick on the other end. Mm-hmm. It's just shooting like 180 to 200 grain bullet. You're shooting a 210 to 220 grain bullet that has a lot of energy. It's controlled expansion. And I mean, and I've said it a lot, you could hunt everything from penguins to polar bears with this thing, because it's very versatile. It's by design, it's an inherently very accurate caliber. So it's great for long range. You can kill, you know, an elk at 50 yards bugling in the timber just as easily as you can make a 900 or 1,000 yard shot on that same elk across a mountainside.
Yep.
I'm really big on that caliber right now. I like the way it shoots. I like the way it hits.
I agree. You
know? Yeah. And the recoil isn't that bad.
No. And the reality is you don't, I mean, it has and I was hunting with a suppressor, and really it's not a big deal at that point. But even with the,
for clarity, that's the Adventure Hunter suppressor by GPM, the 338 caliber, with a titanium sleeve and an aluminum monocore, two piece design, simple and easy. I can literally rattle that one off left and right. It's a suppressor I love. We designed it specifically for the Bergara Premier Series Highlanders. It'll work on everything, but it's Cerakote to match, and it's a perfect mate.
And that's what it's made for, is basically the hunt I went on.
For that Highlander. Yeah.
But badass. Going into a dangerous game hunt, or, you know, a big game hunt that you need some knockdown power, I felt very safe with it. It performed flawlessly. I really enjoyed it. It did, you know, one shot, one kill. It was perfect.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool. Well, I felt that was going to be the best one, because if you had to make a 200-yard shot, which I think is what you had.
Yeah, almost dead on.
Yeah, 200-yard shot, you're going to grease that bear. Just knock it. If you put the bullet where it needs to be, and I know you spend a lot of time at the range prepping, I felt like you were going to get that. You get that bear killed, a big bear killed with one shot. So yep,
it did.
And that's exactly what happened, you know. You know, sleeping in tents, living on the land, that all that stuff's super simple, right? I mean, that's what we do. We get out in Alaska and we live the lifestyle. There's nothing quite like living in the Guide Series tents out there in the tundra.
It's awesome. As soon as you get there, you just get this feeling like,
oh, tell me, man, about blueberry pancakes.
Oh, wow. So I didn't realize when you said you're going to be hunting, you know, blueberry patches, because the bears are basically in transition from feeding on fish, with like, which they can't do forever, right?
Yeah.
They got to get some antioxidants and some other nutrients. So they transition to the blueberry patches on the mountainsides, basically.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, cool. There'll be some small blueberry patches. There might be a bear here or there. Oh, no.
20 square miles. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about like, you can just drag your hand along as you're, you know, walking along the tundra and just scoop up like handfuls of giant blueberries that are like the best tasting berries you've ever had. So
yeah,
my mouth is watering thinking about it. But anyways, you know, one morning we knew we had pancake mix. Yeah. And, I don't know how this went about, but for some reason, I either volunteered or was chosen to go pick the blueberries with, you know, a bucket or a bowl, and we were going to have blueberry pancakes one morning. And so it doesn't take long to fill up a bowl. I was like 10 minutes maybe, and I have like this giant bowl of you know, fresh Alaskan blueberries that still have the dew, you know, dripping off. Man. Yeah. So, and they're like as big as around at the end of your thumb. So I come back into, you know, the guide tent where he's got this little stove set up and got the pancake mix ready to go. And I mean, it's like an obscene amount of blueberries in relation to the amount of pancake mix. So he puts it all in there and then, you know, greases up the pan or whatever, starts cooking them. And then we all get, you know, one or two pancakes or whatever it was. And I just remember vividly, and I think we even have it on camera, right? It's just like this giant, thick blueberry, almost full of blueberry pancake with, you know, syrup and butter and all.
Peanut at your butter, face. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, peanut, like crazy.
I'll be right
status.
Back.
Yeah. And I know Jack is sitting here with me just reminiscing with this too. But anyways, it's just like in slow motion, the best pancake you've ever had in your entire life. Just the taste of it, I mean, it's just like crazy. And that's just icing on the cake, right? Yeah. Before you go out and chase, you know, grizzly bears. It was awesome.
You got your carb on there anyway. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you get loaded up on carbohydrates.
Oh, yeah. I was good for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Dang.
Yeah.
Now I want some of those. Well, you know, there's obviously a lot to talk about when it comes to, you know, that trip and how we might be able to help other people be prepared for those hunts, stuff like that. We've got to hear from one of our sponsors. You know, this segment of the show has been sponsored by the world famous T. Scott Jones, the attorney from Tennessee. And if you're in jail in Knoxville, Tennessee, call and get T. Scott free.
Nice. T. Scott free.
Oh, yeah. T. Yeah. Scott Jones. I'll talk about him in just a moment. But we've got to hear from another one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
This segment of the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast is sponsored by Pendleton Ammunition. Hand loaded, one round at a time.
All right, we're back here in the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast studio. And, you know, I always love the T. Scott Jones commercial break. You know, I have to have it. Yeah, I mean, he's an awesome guy, an incredible lawyer. He's one of our Steve's Outdoor Adventures clients.
Yep.
He's a hunter and a conservationist. He's one of us. But he's got this incredible personality. He'd be great on like he should literally be like the next Judge TV show or attorney show. Like, I could do a reality series on T. Scott Jones. He's got this killer personality. But I love that. You know, he was telling me one time that the guys in Knoxville downtown are like, yeah, man, you get in trouble, call T. Scott Jones if you want to be T. Scott free, you know, get out of jail, you know. Yeah. So, all right, let's finish talking about this grizzly bear hunt. You know, it's dangerous game hunting adds a different element to whatever you're doing in the field, right? You're not rolling up on a mule deer.
Yep.
The whole time you're hunting a grizzly bear, you're thinking about, okay, when the moment of truth arrives, I know I have to put that bullet where it belongs. Mm-hmm. I got to stuff it right where it needs to be. Because if you hit one too far back and you don't make a follow-up shot, you've got a big old grizzly bear down in the alders. He's going to back in somewhere and he's going to wait for you and it's going to end bad for you,
bad
him,
news.
Or both.
Yep.
Yeah.
And or the guide, do you really?
Yeah. I mean, everything goes south in a hurry when they're wounded. So, you know, talk to me about what you were thinking. You know, as I watched the video, this bear is coming across that hillside across from you guys. It was perfect. He's below you and he went up on the hill and he's going across and, you're laying prone, you're getting the gun on you. What are you thinking at that moment before you pull the trigger?
Yeah, I just back up just a little bit and kind of when I know, and you, as hunters, you know, anyone who's listening who's hunted, which is most of you, I'm assuming, you know when that moment of truth is nearing, right? You can feel it. You know you're kind of, your posture starts to change. You start getting ready. And at that moment, I'm constantly kind of thinking about where can I get the most stable shot based on where the probability of the animal is going to come out. And so we kind of knew that most likely that bear was going to circle around from, you know, from our right heading right to left. And sure enough, it was just there sooner than we anticipated, but it was perfect. And I was just looking around and just found the most stable spot right in front of me, put my pack down. And what I'm thinking in that moment is to get as stable as possible and be in control of my emotions as best I can, even though, you know, grizzly, it can get the emotions flying, and it did, but just, I actually practiced that and just talk myself through it, breathe, you know, slow pull trigger, just try and get back to the range, so to speak. And don't get crazy.
Go through your progressions
and don't get that crazy buck fever, in this case, bear fever, and put a poor shot, because if you do, then we're back to that scenario. You might be in the alders trying to dig out a bear and be real bad.
Yeah. One with big wounded teeth and lots of claws, you talk about like throwing down your pack. You know, I get asked all the time by people, what bipod should I get? And I always tell them the same thing. Every bipod manufacturer out there right now is about ready to like scratch me off their Christmas list. I don't use a bipod. I use them for photo ops.
Yep.
I use my backpack. I have a tripod. We have that death grip that we use if we have time to set up, shoot above sagebrush, stuff like that. Yep. I'm not a bipod fan.
Yep.
They squeak.
I think it depends on the hunt for me. I think, you know, like a lot of mule deer or some elk hunts, they work really well for me personally.
Yeah. But it's a personal thing. That's what it really boils down to.
I like the pack too. I do too. Yeah. I'm good with either one.
Yeah. Even in Alaska, like with a good like frame pack, you know, or just a real rigid pack, you can stand it on end and drop your gun over the top and sit and shoot off the top of your pack vertically to get above an obstacle.
Especially one with a little bit of a rigid frame.
Exactly. Yep. You know, some sort of, you know, anything, or even if it's a soft pack, something that's got all your gear in, if it's full, man, that's a great rest vertically. So you can get up high, you can lay it flat, you can go over the top of it, whatever you need to do.
Yep.
I prefer shooting off my pack, because then get rocked in, get nice and leveled up, make a good shot.
Yep.
It's my personal preference. All right, back to the grizzly bear hunt.
That was kind of cool, but you can't do that again.
I don't want to try. I don't think I could replicate that if I wanted to. You know, I talk about in the show when we were putting together this episode in my script, I talk about how people have to be ready to go, right? You weren't hunting brown bears down on like a shoreline in Southeast Alaska or around the edge of a lake or up a salmon stream.
Yep.
You're on a mountainside. Mm-hmm. The ability to move quickly, get on the bear, get rolling, get off your ass, get your pack on and take off and cover country is paramount to your success if you're going to hunt mountain grizzly bears.
For sure.
I'm not saying you have to be a track star.
Right.
But your history as a professional athlete and your workout regimen and everything like that probably paid dividends on
for
that.
For sure,
hunt.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I would never want to discourage someone from doing this hunt if they don't feel like they're a track star.
Oh, I mean, Wes Johnson did it right before you got there. Yep. And he by no means is Wes, you know, a professional athlete. I mean,
but what it does do is it limits your range.
Totally.
Right. And when I got there and you get up on these high points and you glass, I mean, there, you can see for like, I'm talking miles and miles and miles.
Oh, 10.
Yeah. Minimum.
Yeah.
And we saw bears anywhere from like 800 yards from camp to say 5 miles from camp. And so, and everything in between. So when you start talking about 10 mile round trip, you know, trips to go stalk a bear, you better be in decent shape as best as you can be. And I would recommend that anyways, because your experience is always going to be better on any hunt, especially a hunt like this, when you're in the best shape that you can get in. And, you know, just as an example, I was probably running 3 miles a day, every other day for several months before the hunt, just as my normal routine to get ready for the fall. Cause I didn't even know that I was going on this hunt. Right.
Yeah.
But lifting weights 5 days a week, like just kind of my norm. And then I kind of kicked it up at the end because I was, you know, stay ready so I don't have to get ready kind of thing.
Yeah,
but if you're not active and getting ready for these hunts, it's just, you're just limiting yourself.
Yeah. I mean, look, not everybody out there is as athletically gifted as me where I can sit behind a desk for say 18 to 24
throw your
months,
boots on.
Put my boots on, get up and hike out like a 10 mile run. I mean, it's,
Yep.
Not everybody's made like that. Travis has worked his butt off to be in shape for this hunt. You know, he's not in his prime like me, you know, and, and honestly, I'm envious every time I see you like jogging to, you know, with the dog in the mornings. I'm on my way to the office early to do paperwork or go do work. I'm thinking, man, I got to get off my ass and do some more of this, because that caribou hunt that I did legitimately beat my ass. I mean, my feet hurt, my body ached, made it, got the job done. Yep. But I didn't want to go back. But it would
have been easier, more prepared, right?
I would have been. It would have been so much easier if I'd have been 30 pounds lighter, lungs twice the capacity, everything else. And I, and the thing that really struck me was there was a point on that hunt where I multiple times where I had my own personal mental demons. I was just like, okay, you've been here before. Push through. Yeah. Like, pain's temporary.
Mind over matter.
It's weakness leaving the body. It's just your brain's trying to fool you. Push through it. And then, you know, you get up there, you get the caribou killed, or in your case, get the grizzly killed, and you're on your way back and you're thinking, oh man, this really sucks. But yeah, I mean, the reality is that one of the thoughts I had when I got back was, is one of these days I'm not going to be able to just snap my fingers and and like go to that next level, you know?
And the other thing is, as you know, you were with, I believe the same camera guys that I were, and they can go right. And so
20 something little,
if we're not prepared physically, you know, it's potentially hindering what they can film and
like literally
get the best shots.
But to give everybody an idea of the camera guys, I can probably curl both of them, like one in each arm. I don't think they weigh an average of 140 pounds each. You know, one's like 130, one's like 150.
And they can go.
They're jackrabbits. Yeah. I mean, I swear to God, a jack ran past me on the mountainside up there on a caribou hunt. We're like 5 miles in on a slope. And he like there jogged past me to go get ahead and film us. And I was thinking, next time he does that, I'm going to trip his ass.
And then the guides, right? Like Kate, someone like Cade who can go. And so for me, that was almost more motivating.
Oh, it pushed me to that next. Yeah. Like I was thinking, there was like 10 times up there. I was like, I really want to kick this guy's ass, you know? And then it was like, all right, I got to get up there. Got to get up there. And it made, it made me push.
Exactly.
It was motivation for me to show these little young punks that, you know, I might be like, you know, two steps from the, you know, geriatric department at the hospital or the retirement home. I'm like at least like, I was like 5 minutes away from a retirement center when we got in that night. I crawled up in a ball and I literally fell asleep while they ate my caribou tenderloins.
Yeah.
At least they were nice enough to cook me a few of them the next morning. But in all seriousness, the guys who weighed 140 pounds were like bouncing around the cabin all happy and whatnot the next morning. And I was like, wanted to kill somebody because they wanted me to get out of my sleeping bag. I was like, my knees were sore. My body was aching. And being in shape is something that would definitely help anybody go to the next level.
Better experience.
Oh, just, I would have enjoyed the experience so much more if I was 30 pounds lighter with lungs twice that capacity.
Yeah.
Just better cardio all the way around. There's no doubt about how much more I would have enjoyed that. That trip.
And I tell a lot of our clients, you know, ones that I book on hunts, it's like, hey, this is now just an excuse to get in shape. It's a goal.
Yeah.
You have a pending date, you know, use it for that. It just makes it all the difference in the world.
Yeah. I'll get in line with those guys too. Hey, pass the donuts. Would you? I'm just kidding. All right. Look, we got to hear from one more of our show sponsors. And when we come back, I'm going to wrap up the grizzly bear hunting experience with Travis. There's some things that I want him to share with us. I'm going to dig into his soul. I'm going to pull these things out. And that's going to be information that's going to help you prepare, maybe not necessarily for a grizzly bear hunt, but for any hunt that you might happen to go on, whether it be in Alaska, Wyoming, could be in your backyard in Florida, who knows. But we'll be right back from this short commercial break.
This segment of the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast is sponsored by Marathon Seat Covers. We've got you covered.
All right, we're back here in Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast studio talking to Travis Price about his grizzly bear
hunting. Grizzly hunting.
Grizzly hunting. And, I mean, I'm having a lot of fun talking to you about this because, you know, I, as you, like, describe things, it flashes me back to, like, you know, 20-something years ago when I killed my first grizzly bear and had my first experiences in Alaska. And I'm thinking, man, just that enthusiasm. Wish I was. There's a way for me to like fire that machine back up again because it's a special place. Those special animals, special experiences. So as we wrap this up, you know, a couple of questions I wanted to ask you, and you know, and this is something I think is really going to help like the viewers, mm-hmm. you know, like maybe they want to go, maybe they don't want to go, but yep. maybe you say something that makes them want to go, yep. you know, experience Alaska. I've always learned that in Alaska, you learn a lot about yourself. Mm-hmm. Travis, what did you learn about yourself when you were on this grizzly bear hunt?
That's a great question. I learned a lot, of course. Some things that come to my mind, especially for someone that is viewing this podcast that may have thought about doing a grizzly hunt, is I wasn't ever afraid. And I think initially that kind of crossed my mind, like, hey, you're going to Alaska, you're actually going to be like living amongst the bears and try and harvest one, right? In a tent. And it's like, I never felt that I was even worried about that. It was more of just, and maybe it's because I'm the one that's the predator and chasing them rather than maybe doing an elk on a horseback where you're worried about running into a grizzly and it's a different mindset. But, I always felt safe and, I never felt that I was in danger at any point. And I think that was a learning for me that I don't have to feel like that as long as you're on your game and you're always in control and not making stupid decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying because I realized that after my very first trip to Alaska a long time ago, I went into it thinking, oh man, I'm gonna be out there with the grizzly bears. I'm gonna be like, we were hunting, you know, narrow river corridors. And I was thinking, man, what happens if I have a better? And what I realized right off the bat was deep down inside, I knew that if I had the gun, I could control the outcome of any situation.
Yep.
You know, and whether it was grizzly bears or anything else in this world, if I'm the one with the gun, I'm going to be able to control the outcome of the situation. If I run into a big, bad, pissed off bear or someone wounds one, I'm going to be able to end it favorably for me and yep. not so much for them.
Yep.
And yeah, so I know exactly what you're saying. Like it's like you put the shoe on the other foot or something, you know, it's like, yeah, you're supposed to be scared and you've always been told, oh, you got to be scared of the grizzly bears.
Yep.
And you're like, yeah, but I got a 300 PRC.
Yeah. And you're just with someone, you know, in a guide or in this case, a couple of the camera guys that are, you know, savvy and
season,
doing the right things. And those bears just, you know, they didn't seem like they were, you know, going to stalk you and like no. the things that you think about that's yeah. potentially going to be disastrous. It wasn't like that at all.
No, up in Alaska, those bears don't want anything to do with us. They want salmon in the streams. They want to eat those freaking sweet.
They're getting
bears.
Ready to hibernate and they have no interest in burning a bunch of calories.
No, they
there's plenty of food.
Eat and more eat. Okay. Yeah.
So that was a big one. Another one I mentioned earlier is just like, it feels like an addiction just started and in chasing grizzly bears. Yeah. And I know you have the same, and I didn't realize that was going to happen. So if someone's, you know, watching or listening and they've always thought about it, whatever if you're thinking about it, you're going to want to do it over and over and over again. Yeah. Once you do it.
Hold on a second. So you haven't done a sheep yet. Hold on one second. Hey, Becky. Yeah. Cancel all of his sheep hunts.
Yeah.
Like in all seriousness, that, yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, all of these trips get expensive. Sheep just happens to be the $2 million addiction, but the cocaine addiction would be cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. And one other one I'd like to share is that for me, I've kind of have two purposes there, right? I'm working and I'm learning these hunts so that I can bring it back to the office and share it with our clients to book them on the ventures that fit them the best, for example. And I'm trying to get an episode so that we can show the world what that looks like. But I can't forget to also have fun, you know, for myself while I'm there. And there's been hunts in the past that I've done that I've kind of forgot that. And that was really apparent. The balance was correct and there for me on this hunt. And that made it that much more enjoyable. So that was a big learning for me too.
Excellent. Yeah. That's something I have to remind myself a lot of, you know, look, it's not lost on me how blessed I've been in this lifetime to be able to go on all of these hunts. And it's not like one or two.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
to be able to have hunted the world and then gone back and hunted a lot of things dozens of times. Yeah. There at some point in time, I forget that I'm not just there for work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, let's get together. What do we need to film? What have we got to do? What are we, you know, and it gets to be a grind. And it's like, well, we got to go. Like, I haven't hunted an animal off camera in 2 decades.
Yeah.
You know, I almost wonder what it'd be like someday when the cameras aren't rolling.
Yeah.
And I just, do I even go hunting?
Yeah.
You know,
it's like a different dynamic.
Every, like, it might be such a shock to my system that I like become a vegetarian and go live on a beach with Birkenstocks. No,
yeah,
no.
And for me, it's like there's this different pressure, card, right? You know? Like if you book your own guided hunt and it's the hunt of a lifetime, you save for 10 years and like you have this sort of like this internal pressure, right?
Yeah.
And for me, it's there to bring home this product so that through Steve's Outdoor Adventures,
you know, the TV show, the knowledge, the, yep, you know, the expertise.
Yeah. And we all put this internal pressure on ourselves for whatever the reason may be, but you cannot forget to be in the moment and have fun. Cause it just,
to be present.
It's so exactly. Cause it's so short, might not ever get to do it again. So forth that you've got to be there and having fun.
I agree entirely. You know, I'm glad you brought that because it is something that I've tried to remind myself a mm-hmm. dozen times. Like, hey, like this year, you were archery hunting over on one of our Oregon yep. ranches, and there was no cameras involved. You're up there with your dad. You're yep. having the time of your life. You're hunting elk. You had a 3-yard experience. There's no cameras there to capture the moment, but yet you were present in that moment. And when you told me about it, I could see that twinkle in your eye. Like you're thinking, like, next year's my yeah, year. You know,
that much closer.
Yeah. I just got that much closer.
For sure.
To you know, to what that means. And let me ask this: sitting on the hill glassing, you learned maybe a little patience with hunting. I remember you talking about like patience. You learned that Jack will consume 14,000 snacks in a day while sitting on the hill.
For sure.
I mean, you know, you learn things about other people around you, but you know, I've always said grizzly bear hunting is 99% boredom.
Yep.
And 1% sheer terror and excitement. It's the terror and excitement that gets you coming back time and time and time again. Yes. Would you agree with that assessment?
Completely. Literally at one moment, and Jack can attest to this, I was glassing for so long, as was Cade, that I literally fell asleep and was nodding off with the binoculars still in my eyes, like sleeping like that. Because you just do it for so long, my eyes were burning, right? And all of a sudden you spot a bear or some movement or, you know, something that looks like a bear, and then it's on. And when it's on, that stalk, you go from 0 to 100 miles an hour, like right then. And the challenge with bears is they can move for so quickly a long distance in such a short period of time. So you can't like, oh, should we go do this and fuck around? You've got to get after it and get in front of that bear, right? It's like, you don't have half a day to figure it out and let them bed like a deer. And like, you got to get on it.
Yeah.
And so, and then the adrenaline just kicks and it's on the whole entire stalk. And you may have been glassing for hours and hours and hours that day, or even the whole day before that happens.
Gotcha.
I absolutely agree with that.
Cool. All right. What piece of gear would you say is an absolute necessity on that grizzly? What's the one piece of gear, not the rifle or any of that
crap? That was going to be my number one, actually.
Yeah. But I mean, it does help to have a gun, but yeah. Like, what's the one thing you had in your pack or in the tent or something like that? Like, what's the one little thing you think somebody would forget that is real important to have?
That someone might forget. That's a really good question. I mean, a good rain jacket was huge. I mean, you're in Alaska. You can't show up without good rain gear. I mean, a lot of the days, you know, at some point it sprinkled. It didn't really heavily rain at any point, but it was wet and damp for a lot of it. And if you don't have good rain gear to stay dry, you're in trouble. But I guess the one thing that that I would recommend is a really good sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's critical. I brought one that probably wasn't the best. You know, I had betters, and I, for weight or size or whatever reason, I decided not to bring it. And I regret that, because getting a good rest and, you know, staying warm and dry, whatever it may be, that's critical on a hunt like that. You know, you're in a storm shelter tent or whatever, dome tent, and you're on a cot, and you know, if you're uncomfortable, it's going to be miserable. A good sleeping bag is like a must have.
So this year when I got to Alaska, I realized that my favorite sleeping bag, you know, my big Agnes bag was missing. Right. And then I found it and I got it out, and then I left it out where a puppy could get to it. And that's my fault.
The stuffing is.
Yeah, it was hollow fit. It looked like it snowed in there. anyway, so I get to Anchorage. I've got time. So I went to Barney Sports Chalet.
Yep.
Went and saw Kevin. And he's like, oh, man, these Kefaru bags are really nice. You know, it's like a top zip. And I like a squared bottom bag. I want my feet to be able to move.
Free.
I'm not a mummy guy, mm-hmm. right? This is kind of like a cross between the two, but it was really long and it kind of had it had a top zipper. Don't do it.
No front zipper.
No. It was a $400 or $500 sleeping bag and I hate it.
Yeah.
You want it?
I'm good.
No, you don't want it?
You're not selling me on it, Steve.
I was going to give it to you for Christmas, but yeah. I was going to, you know, re-gift it. Yeah. But anyway, the bottom line is I was not happy, so I didn't sleep well anywhere I went. I was always on my back. I wasn't able to, like, move, so I snored and pissed everybody off. And, you know, but a good sleeping bag with a good sleeping pillow.
Important.
Yeah, if you're in a tent, a cabin, wherever, if you're not getting good sleep, your body's not going to be fully recovered each day, fully rested. You're not going to be at peak performance. And guys my size weren't meant to sleep on, like, little man cots, you know. And so I try to put a lot of investment in sleep. So, yeah, good sleeping bag.
Yep. Important.
Yeah, very, very important. Yep. So I could definitely see that being good. I think the one thing a lot of people forget is that quality glass, you know, like we use the Burris binoculars, the signature HDs, great glass. There's people all over out there using Swarovskis and Zeiss and Leica and whatnot like that. But it always cracks me up when I look over and some dude's got like a pair of Bushnell, binoculars or something super cheap and low end. And he's trying to glass and keep up with the guys. Yep. And we're like, hey, do you see those bears over there or those elk on that hillside? And he's like, oh, those fuzzy brown things? Yeah.
I just thought of one that I'm so glad I brought. And it has to do with glassing and comfortability. So it kind of ties into what we're talking about, is like an ass pad.
Something to sit on.
Oh, man. That is like a critical piece of equipment.
It also keeps you off the moisture.
Well, that's just it. So we were on some rock outcroppings, as you saw in some of the video clips.
Yeah, you can't have that rock in
the crack. Oh, no good. So staying dry while you're sitting and glassing.
Comfy.
Yeah, comfy. Not getting a rock where it doesn't need to be comfy.
Yeah.
And I just cut out, like, I don't even know what it was. It's some sort of foam. It's not like I bought one. I just cut it out of something I had at home already. And it's just like, whatever, a foot and a half by foot and a half. Super handy and light.
I'm going to give you one thing that I remember. And I took it with me. And I had one of those little, like a Yeti Rambler cups, one of the small ones with the lid. Mm-hmm. When you're having coffee, you take it with you, get the lid, you carry your coffee each day or
super
you
put handy.
It in the crack. Yeah. Fill it with water every day. It's metal. They last. I love having one of those things in camp, no matter where I am. I got my own coffee cup.
Yeah.
I got
Steve's.
Yeah. Steve's cup,
hot chocolate. Whatever.
I mean, I don't have somebody else over there like licking the rim of it and giving it back to me. Like this is my cup, especially in the day of COVID, right? I want my own damn cup.
I get it.
Because if you lick my cup, you're going to get my COVID.
Yeah.
So.
But ass pad.
Yeah, must have. Ass pad. Must have. Got it. You know, the other thing I also tell guys, like a lot of people don't like to drink water because you got to hydrate. Mm-hmm. And hydrate. When you're hiking, hunting, going hard, you've got to be drinking water. A lot of people don't like to just drink straight water. I take like some little packets, John calls them salts, but they're like hydration, water.
Electrolyte stuff.
Yeah, electrolyte, something that enhances the water, but it gives it some flavor, makes it a lot more fun, more appealing to drink.
More likely to drink it.
I take 4 or 5 of those for every single day I'm in the field. I always like to add that to my water. So
cool.
All right. Knowing what you know now, what advice would you give yourself before you went on this hunt?
Okay. And this is, I'm just going to speak a very short piece of this because I don't want to ruin the episode because it's in the episode specifically. But don't let a black bear ruin your stock.
Yeah. I can see that.
That's literally like one of the ones that if I could redo things, I might do different.
Blow right through him.
Yeah. That bear that we were on and that specific stock, once the episode comes out, you'll see he's pretty big and... Yeah. That was a kind of a really random, odd scenario.
You guys
but
blew it.
Yeah.
I would have run right through that bear.
Yeah. You never know. I don't know. Hindsight's always 20/20, but
I'd have circled him, pushed him the direction I wanted him to go and just gone and killed that big ass bear.
Yeah.
You know, I see that. I guess I was looking for something maybe a little different.
Okay.
Like preparation.
Give me what you're looking for.
I mean, like what you know now.
Okay.
That like preparedness, patience, all of these things.
That's a really good, I felt good. I probably could have shot a little more, I think.
Hold on a second. This segment of Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast is brought to you by LifeLight, going overhead. Damn near every hour.
Is?
Yeah, that's LifeLight going overhead. Yeah,
I'm like, what are you saying right now?
The hospital's like an hour up here. I heard the helicopter in the microphones and thump, 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 thump. So yeah, that's LifeLight going overhead. Anyway.
No, what I was saying is I felt really good physically. I don't think I would have changed that. I mean, you can always, but I don't think that was a hindering factor in any way on the hunt. Patience, I think I was okay. I would say maybe just, I always feel that I could probably have shot that rifle or whatever rifle I'm using on the hunt a little bit more.
You know, I would say your shot placement was great.
It was. Yeah. But just to have that constant, confidence that you know that just second nature, I think I can do a bit better job on that. You know, I spend a lot of time in the office booking clients and trying to be present with my wife at home and so forth. And I think I could spend a little more time at the range. That'd probably be one for me.
Goodness, we know where you can get the ammo.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right. Well, you know, like you said, that's an episode that is, sure to, turn a lot of heads. Yep. I mean, it's well filmed. One thing I would say, and this is going to be brought up in the episode as well. Yeah, Travis was 400 yards away from this massive bear with a 300 PRC that could have easily smacked this bear. But you don't take the shot. You never take that shot. And we'll explain why in the episode. So I hope everybody watches this program, the Steve's Outdoor Adventures episode, because it's special. There's big bears and lots of bears. Incredible action. It's so well filmed, very cinematic. And there's some lessons to be learned in that episode that I think people are going to enjoy hearing them.
I agree. So, can't wait till it comes up.
Excellent. And if anybody out there wants to book a grizzly bear hunt, give Travis or I a call at the office. We're always here to take your calls, answer your questions, and help you book the hunting or fishing adventure of a lifetime. Unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for this week's Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast. We had a kick-ass guest today.
Yep, Brent.
Yep, Brent from Marathon Seat Covers. We're giving away seat covers. Remember, all you have to do is go to those social media posts and comment and tag somebody, and you'll be entered to win. Killer seat covers. I mean,
I'm calling Brent. I'm getting it's time.
Yeah, it's time to make the purchase, dude. So, well, hey, man, thanks for being on the show with me today.
I'll see you in the office
Monday morning. And, folks, once again, we thank you for joining us for the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast. We have the time of our lives here. We get to do things that most people only dream about, travel all over North America and really the world for that matter, and experience these incredibly wild places, and we love sharing them with you. So from all of us at Steve's Outdoor Adventures, we'll see you next time.
The Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast is sponsored by Farwide, the game-changing free app that puts outdoor intelligence in the palm of your hand.